Hi, folks, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I explore a different topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. I'm your host, Jess Romola, a registered dietitian, dietitian supervisor, and owner of Empowering Dietitians, where I help burnt out and unhappy dietitians opt out of hustle culture and reclaim their passion and purpose as a human first and dietitian second. After all, we are all more than dietitians. As a reminder, I am currently on maternity leave, so from now through April, you're getting a special bonus season of the podcast. A look back at the most popular episodes from the past 4 seasons, along with some new commentary, episode titles, and updates. In January, we're focusing on top episodes from season 1. And today, I have for you my very first episode with Stephanie Schwartz, formerly a New York-based dietitian and now a Colorado-based one. In this episode, formerly titled The Other Side of Clinical, we chat all about her experience as a clinical RD, pushing back against the narrative that has been building that paints clinical in a purely negative light. We discuss how different one clinical environment can be from another, reasons why clinical may be an ideal fit for your lifestyle and career goals, and how she's navigated her own career while keeping burnout at bay. It's a solid episode, and listening back on it, I don't have too many addendums, updates, or notes. I will say that in the episode, I reference a few dietitians who used to provide career support for dietitians, but no longer do. So if you're looking for that extra layer of support while I'm away on maternity leave, particularly if you're in the clinical space and so you're looking for career support but not business coaching, I've updated the show notes with a new set of dietitians who I refer to often with confidence. Some work with registered dietitians, others work with students. Oh, and if you enjoy this episode, Stephanie was actually back on the podcast again in episode 93 with some career and life updates, including her transition from inpatient clinical to outpatient oncology. Another episode that I highly recommend checking out while I'm away. All right, enough with the updates. Let's take it back to season 1 with episode 9, Myth-Busting Clinical Dietetics with Stephanie Schwartz. Enjoy. All right, welcome, Stephanie.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to do this.
I am really excited to be having this conversation. I know that it's something that you're super passionate about. So for everyone listening, why don't you tell them a little bit about who you are and why we decided that this episode was so necessary?
Okay, so my name is Stephanie. I am a clinical dietitian in New York City. I work acute care inpatient. And I, in my spare time, run the Instagram account, That Dietitian Life, where I make memes primarily, but I also try to have some discussion about what's going on with in the field and, you know, both about kind of life things with being a dietitian, like we had a discussion about dating one time, and also professional things that we're all dealing with. So the other week, I posted a discussion question asking everyone what their thoughts were on working in clinical. Because there had been a few Instagram posts from other accounts that were painting clinical in a pretty negative picture. And it was bothering me a little bit as someone who happens to really like clinical. And I think we had some really good discussion on that. There are a lot of different viewpoints that were presented, and I think we're going to get into some of that here.
Excellent. Exactly. And for anyone who doesn't follow you on Instagram, I highly recommend it. Your feed just brings a little bit of lighthearted levity and enjoyment to everything else that I follow. And I'm not in clinical, so I don't always remember the references that you make from my like internship days, but plenty of them hit home pretty well.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I try to do as many posts about like general dietitian life.
Yep.
But they do wind up being kind of more clinical specific sometimes because that's what I'm living on a day-to-day basis. But I'm glad it still resonates.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I really appreciate your perspective on clinical because I think that it's really important to take a really critical look at our field and to understand that the fact that there are so many diverse opportunities means that there's a right fit for pretty much everyone. And that just because someone's putting one aspect of the field down doesn't mean that it won't really light someone up to be there themselves.
Or work for just kind of their lifestyle and what they need at a certain point in their life too.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what your clinical experience has been like. Of course, with privacy and everything with where you work, leave out whatever you need to, but just kind of share what it's been like to be a clinical dietitian in the past time as being a dietitian.
Sure. And I have really three main clinical environments I can comment on. And I'll touch a little bit on all three because I think it paints kind of an interesting picture. So I knew I wanted to be a clinical RD going into my internship, and I did a VA internship. And part of the reason I wanted to do a VA internship was because I knew those dietitians had order writing privileges, which most dietitians in New York State don't have. And I knew that VA dietitians are actually very well compensated in comparison to a lot of other clinical dietitians. So I was wanting to work with dietitians who were really empowered in what they were doing and who had the ability to, write tube feed orders on their own and write diet orders without needing a doctor to sign off on it. And so I had a really excellent experience there. And I found that really was the case. The dietitians were very well respected amongst the medical teams. To give an example, the dietitian who covered the nursing home, because there was kind of like a nursing home attached to the main hospital. Usually we kind of think of those long-term care jobs as being not particularly exciting, but this dietitian, she would like run all the care plan meetings with the whole staff. She went to palliative care rounds. She made herself very involved, and that was really a great example to see as I started my career.
Absolutely.
So I was such a nerd. I didn't want my internship to end. I really, really liked it there, but and it did on a Friday. And the following Monday, I started my very first dietitian job in the ICU. I was not
Okay.
even a dietitian yet. Like, talk about imposter syndrome. Like,
Yeah.
this wasn't even imposter syndrome. I was literally an imposter for a month before I took the RD exam. It was terrifying. But that job, I certainly learned a lot from it, but it was an interesting setup. So at this hospital, there were two separate nutrition departments. There was the standard food nutrition department that covered most of the floors, and then there was the ICU department that I was in. And that department also happened to employ nurse practitioners who basically worked as dietitians. And at first, I didn't mind
Interesting.
it. I was just happy to have a job, but it wore on me after a while to have nurse practitioners who actually really needed our help to figure out nutrition, who were kind of more valued and compensated so much better than we were. And even though I did have a very good experience with the team in my ICU, I grew unhappy with that position after a little while, and I actually thought about leaving clinical at one time. I think I applied for a corporate wellness job just like randomly. I was
Sure.
like, I want to do something else now. I'm done with this. But I share that because I think sometimes you just need to change your environment, and it goes
Yes.
to show that every clinical environment is so different. I think sometimes we paint broad strokes when we talk about clinical, but it varies so much job to job. So I wound up switching to my current job where I've been for about 9, 10 months now, and it's made a world of difference. I'm so much happier here, partly because I have a great manager who advocates for us, and I have such a fantastic group of coworkers. And I think part of what I've always loved about clinical is that team environment, just getting to learn from other dietitians all day and collaborate with them is such a huge part of why I enjoy clinical. So getting to have that back was pretty major for me.
Absolutely. And I think you raise two really important points. The first being that not all clinical is the same. And it's so interesting. You know, my clinical experience is really limited to the internship. I went right into community after that. But I actually, although I never thought that I wanted to be a clinical dietitian, I really enjoyed the clinical experience of my internship. And the ICU was probably my favorite rotation of all of them. It was partly because I was in a smaller suburban hospital, so the ICU wasn't super intense. It was actually very quiet and very calm. And the notes were so thorough compared to all the other places in the hospital. But I can see how having a different environment changes it completely. And so maybe you do better in a city hospital or a suburban hospital. Maybe you do better in one hospital's kind of bureaucracy and politics compared to another, because they all have different settings.
And also it varies so much state to state too, whether you can write diet orders or not. And definitely when we were having that conversation on my Instagram, I was getting a lot of different feedback from people in different geographical locations. So that's also sort of interesting to see too. And I think that also speaks to how we also need some greater, you know, national level change to give dietitians the privileges that we deserve with our training.
Yes. And to be able to empower us to be part of that team. And I think that that aspect of clinical is something that we don't talk about as much, because as a community dietitian, I pretty much operate as the only dietitian. That's not to say that there aren't other dietitians that I interact with on a bigger scale from other locations within different communities. But for the most part, day to day, I'm on my own. And that has its own consequences, where I'm hearing a lot of dietitians talking about how they're looking for a greater sense of community. And maybe clinical is actually one of the solutions for someone, and they don't realize it.
Right. That's so true.
Excellent. Excellent. So I really appreciate you sharing that it can change. And just because you have one negative experience doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong for you. It might just mean that you need to try something else, or maybe you need to learn how to advocate for yourself or develop some of your own confidence skills to be able to make change in the organization. There's a lot of opportunity before completely jumping ship.
Right. And something I was thinking about too is, we so often, you know, pin clinical and private practice as being like opposite ends of the spectrum. But I think that like a really great clinical dietitian has kind of an entrepreneurial spirit, is, you know, looking, you know, identifying problems and finding solutions and finding places that the RD can be elevated and contribute more.
Absolutely.
That's definitely not me, but some really great people I've worked with.
Absolutely. And knowing how to market yourself and all of these things, they're not necessarily exclusive to private practice. They can benefit you in any area that you wind up being in.
Right. And that's also what's frustrated me these last few months about some of these Instagram posts that put down working clinical so much and say, you know, it's useless if you want to do private practice, because I think so many skills that you obtain in clinical, not just in terms of knowing your medical nutrition therapy, but also the situations you deal with, the different personalities you deal with. Like, look, you see everything in the hospital. Yeah. If you can deal with some of the crazy of the hospital, there's a lot of things that you can deal with outside of the hospital.
It's very true. And I also want to point out to anyone feeling frustrated that a lot of the accounts that are putting down clinical, they're specifically speaking to dietitians that are feeling fed up or that don't feel like clinical is right for them. So they have a very specific market, and there's nothing wrong with marketing to their ideal client, which is what they're doing. That's actually a really positive move. But the unintended consequence is that sometimes we can be over here and we're not in that ideal client of feeling frustrated with clinical, and it can feel very negative to us. So I think it's important to understand that and to kind of look at these accounts and just know that maybe you're not who they're really speaking to. And that doesn't mean that clinical is wrong or bad. It's just going to be wrong for some people.
Right. And yeah, certainly, you know, I know that the people posting this are not trying to convince me, a clinical dietitian who enjoys their work, just to like up and leave their job and start a private practice. But there are a few things I find problematic with it. You know, one, yeah, being that a lot of us, you know, we can still see their marketing and it's hurtful, but also just like the idea that it's either you're unhappy in your job or you leave it and start a private practice. Not that you try to work with it. You try to explore a little bit. Maybe you try, you know, seeing how you do starting of a private practice and also working your clinical job. You know, just it paints it so black and white there, when there's so much gray, essentially.
Absolutely. I know that some other dietitian accounts are actually pretty vocal about kind of not sticking it out if it's really a negative environment, but really understanding if the environment needs to change or if you just need to learn to work with it in a different way. Susan Stalt is one of them, and Allison Reederer is another, who are really fantastic resources. So if anyone out there is feeling frustrated by their work environment as a dietitian, then before just jumping ship and saying like it's a lost cause, I would highly recommend following their content and reaching out to them, because it's possible that you need a change. Nothing wrong with that. But maybe there are some things that you can do either in the meantime or to actually resolve the situation so that you're happier in your position.
Right. And something else I wanted to say too about what sort of bothers me about some of these posts is the impression that it gives to dietetic interns or RD-to-Bs. You know, I would really hate that someone planning on becoming a dietitian sees this and gets the wrong impression about clinical, or thinks that, you know, they're a failure of some kind if they ultimately want to do private practice but wind up spending a year in clinical for either, you know, personal or financial reasons. There's nothing wrong with it.
Of course. I think it's very interesting that when I first became a dietitian, which wasn't that long ago, but we're going on about 7 years now. And when I first entered into the field, it was very much like clinical dietitians seemed to be at the top of the totem pole, where that was the gold standard of what a dietitian was. And if you weren't in clinical or didn't spend at least 2 years in clinical, you were kind of less of a dietitian. And that was very much the culture that I came into. And now fast forward, you know, less than 10 years, and we've kind of seen this shift where it's almost turned on its head, where if you're not pursuing private practice, if you're not pursuing entrepreneurship, then you're less of a dietitian. And it's not that anyone is consciously trying to send that message, but it is the culture that we tend to cultivate.
Right. And I mean, I do like that there is a shift in that there's just other options. And, you know, we're talking here about clinical and private practice, but you work in community. Yeah. There's so many dietitians that work in research, in food industry, a million other settings that we're not even really touching on in this conversation. And I think that's what makes our field so great, is that there are so many options. So I'm glad that we are like shifting our mindset in a way, from it being that there's one way to be a dietitian. You just need to like not shift like two polar opposite.
Exactly. The answer is not, you know, there was one way to be a dietitian. Now this is the actual correct way. The shift that we want to see is there are so many ways to be a dietitian, and the key is to tap into what feels right to you. And if you're not sure, then to choose one and see how it feels, like give it a test drive for a little bit, and slowly but surely you'll find your own path. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. And it might be a path that you had no clue existed when you started your whole journey.
Exactly. And I think especially right now, so many dietitians are kind of creating completely new paths that didn't exist before, which is a really exciting time and a fantastic opportunity, where if you feel like you don't fit into one of those tidy little boxes of clinical or community or food service or private practice, there could be a really out of the box opportunity for you to either create something completely new or build on something that is just getting started.
Yeah, certainly.
And so I'd also like to hear your honest opinion about what are some of the pros of working a clinical position? Like, why might someone decide that clinical is where they want to be?
Okay, so the teamwork aspect I touched on a little bit earlier, that's for me a pretty major sticking point. The other things too, just if you're interested in medicine, if you like, getting into the nitty-gritty of medical nutrition therapy and looking at labs and writing tube feeds, for me, when I start to think about food as being part of medical treatment, that was just mind-blowing and such a shift. So, of course, that should really be the first thing. Another thing is that I just love patient care and I love getting to make a patient's day a little bit better. I know that, a patient's life might not change because I ordered them an Ensure, but maybe I showed them some kindness during a very vulnerable time. And I like the fact that I go into a patient's room and I'm not there to poke or prod them. I'm there to, show that I care about them and that I want them to be eating. Another thing is too, just in terms of lifestyle, there's structure to it, which does really work for a lot of people. I'm someone, I like having my 9 to 5 hours. I like going into work knowing exactly what I need to accomplish for the day. I like that when I leave work, I get to leave work at work. In theory, in practice, I actually like, I'm thinking about my patients all the time, but and also just having the stability, having the good health insurance and the benefits. I think that's something we don't talk about very often, but for me is also a big factor of why I like being in a clinical job.
Absolutely. And, as someone who, I have a side business and then I also have a very secure, stable 9 to 5. Being able to compare and contrast those two, there are a lot of very strong benefits for not wanting to work for yourself. You don't have to want that. And you might like having the structure, the predictability to some extent, where you have that security, you know what to expect, you're not fighting tooth and nail for every paycheck. And you have the benefits and all of that. So I don't think that there's anything to put down about that. There are a lot of people that are going to want that, or at various points in their life, that's what works best for them.
If you say you have kids and having a part-time clinical job works for you or a per diem one, those options are there too. And maybe later in life you want to do private practice. There's just options. There's almost like options for every life stage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you also don't have to be black and white. You could say, you know what? I want to work per diem or part time in a hospital, and I also want to see clients on the side. Or I also want to work at a community location part time. There are so many options that we don't necessarily have to fit into one column or one label. As a dietitian, we can pick and choose.
You can be so many things. That's part of what's so cool about our field.
Absolutely. I know that, I've stayed with my community position throughout my entire 7 years as a dietitian, but throughout that time, I've also had this business with dietitians, and I've also written articles on the side because I have a passion for writing. I did a blog for a bakery. I did all kinds of
Oh,
different,
that's so cool.
right? I did all kinds of things that sounded interesting and that were different from what I did in my 9 to 5, that kind of built on some of my other passions. And those are options to you as well.
Like, I make memes on the side. Like,
Exactly. And it doesn't, we don't always have to monetize everything that we're passionate about. Go ahead.
I would say I get asked a lot, if I plan on monetizing my meme account, and I don't currently right now. I really just do it for fun and because I love connecting with other dietitians.
Yeah, as a I don't know if it's my ambition, if it's my perfectionism, but there's something about my personality where I tend to try to turn everything I love into a job. And then it becomes a
I feel
chore.
that.
Yeah. And then suddenly it just kind of pulls the spontaneity and the passion and joy out of it. Not always 100%. I still might enjoy it, but it's different from when it's a hobby or a pastime. And I think we've kind of lost the art of having hobbies.
Yeah, that is so true in our current
Yeah,
culture.
so I personally love that you do it. I would never kind of second guess you for wanting to monetize it down the road. That's also very, very viable. But I think that there's something that we're missing out on in this day and age of just doing something for the fun of it.
Yeah, completely.
Excellent. So I feel like you've offered a really refreshing perspective on the benefits of clinical and how it's not so cut and dry. And for anyone out there who might be feeling a little bit stuck, that there are alternatives either in changing positions or advocating for change within the organization before necessarily deciding that it might not be right for you altogether. And
Yes,
is there anything
definitely.
else that you want to share with the listeners? Anything that you want to pass on to them that you've learned along the way?
You've talked about burnout on some earlier on earlier episode. You and I were emailing about that.
Yes.
And I think too is just if you do work in clinical, like also, even though you do have a 9 to 5, not letting yourself burn out on it too, and be confident in yourself. And especially these last couple of months during the COVID-19 crisis, I was like running myself to the ground, like coming home from work and studying and trying to be better. You know so much more than you think you do, and you're needed in clinical too. That's the thing. The doctors, they don't know how to write tube feed orders. Everyone would get Jeovity at 50. They don't know how to, compassionately counsel patients on their diet. Okay, wait, I shouldn't say some might, but you know what I'm
Of
saying.
course,
It's
there's
like
never any
you're
universals.
right. Like we are very needed in clinical too. We do offer something. So even if you're somewhere where the dietitians aren't necessarily appreciated, there's room to change that because the truth is we should be appreciated. We have skills that no other allied health professional has. So, they need you too.
Yes, and I think that that's a really important point that, we can be the change that we want to see. And it's hard work. You have to feel up for it, and there's no shame in not wanting that, but there's a lot that we can do. There's a lot that I've done in my position where I've learned how to advocate for myself, and my role is very different from when I started 7 years ago because I
Yeah.
advocated. So I think that that's really important, and I also think that the self-care and not burning out is an interesting conversation. Is there something that you found to be helpful in avoiding burnout as a clinical dietitian?
This is something I've really been thinking about the last couple of months because during the height of COVID-19, I would spend all day writing tube feed orders for these patients, and then I would go home and do like every single webinar available on COVID-19. I would read the Aspen guidelines and my textbooks again, just like try to be better. I think just do one is remembering, to leave work at work to the best of your abilities. Two is also just like taking interest in other areas of nutrition too sometimes. Like I did a webinar on something completely unrelated to clinical. I was like, oh, right. I also really like this. And it just also, it like kind of gave me some strength back a little bit
Yes.
and just fed my soul in a different way.
Yes. And I think whether that is a different area of nutrition or something unrelated to nutrition altogether, to
Yeah.
have that escape, to have something where you just get to turn off for a little bit is fantastic
Right.
advice.
And like part of what makes you a great clinician is, your whole picture. It's not just that, the medical nutrition therapy for chronic kidney disease, like the back of your hand. It's everything you bring into the hospital or whatever your work environment is that day.
Yes, it's so true. So I just think that you're a fantastic resource. You've given a great perspective. If you want to let everyone know again how they can get in touch with you, if they want to learn more, if they want to chat or share their experiences or anything about clinical or dietitian life, where can they find you?
The best way to find me is on Instagram at That Dietitian Life. I respond to DMs pretty well. I'm a pretty big phone junkie, so it's usually not a problem.
Excellent, excellent. And I will be sure to link your handle in the show notes. But thank you so much, Stephanie, for coming on today. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure that the listeners We'll really enjoy this one.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, there are two things that you can do that dramatically help to support the show. First, leave a quick rating and/or review on your podcast listening app of choice, which really helps new listeners find the show. Second, sharing this episode with a dietitian friend can also go a long way in spreading the anti-hustle message to dietitians far and wide. And speaking of supporting one another, even though I'm on maternity leave right now, that doesn't mean this podcast is your only way of receiving support. On my website, you can find a host of resources, from free workbooks and journals that will opt you into my monthly newsletter support, to a whole library of recorded courses and classes, many of which are approved for CEUs by the CDR. Check out everything I have to offer on my website at www.empoweringdietitians.com.